Weird underwater city of Euclidea, many strange things take place, and most of them have been terrifying to the Gregory party. Now, however, a big ray of hope has suddenly appeared. Mrs. Gregory, her daughter Joan, and their newly found friend Elaine, the Euclidean girl submarine commander, are in their quarters. Mrs. Gregory is enjoying herself as Elaine tries on one of her dresses while Joan watches admiringly.
I am so worried about Jerry and the captain.
Now, Joan, dear, when Tex and Jerry are together, they're able to get themselves out of anything that might come up.
But, Mother, they were to be gone only a few minutes, and it is now more than an hour.
And you're worrying much too soon, Joan. When you've lived as long as I have, you'll realize that a man loses all sense of time when he's out doing something that interests him, and completely forgets anyone who might be waiting for him.
That would seem to be the case, but I do not like
it. Well, dear, older women than any of us find fault with things men do. But it's much easier to find fault than to find the cure.
Oh, Mother, look!
Why, Elaine, you're lovely in that dress, dear.
I think it must be the dress that is lovely. I have not changed, and no one has told me previously that I am lovely.
But you are. I like that much better than your uniform of Euclidean cloth.
I hope I may never again...
You have forgotten, Elaine.
I am sorry.
We understand, my dear girl. You've kept up that Euclidean atmosphere so long that you find it difficult to realize that all of your Euclidean mannerisms and your obligations to these scientists have been left behind you with that uniform.
Mother, may Elaine have this dress? I mean, may she keep it?
Well, to be sure.
I am not at all sure about doing that. This dress must have some value. And if I understand things in your world, articles of value must be exchanged for things of equal value.
That's approximately correct. But don't let that worry you for a moment. I can well afford to give you a dress or a complete wardrobe.
Mother is a very rich woman, Elaine.
Oh, Jonesy, please.
But that is what Jerry says about you.
Well, even if it's true, we don't discuss those things.
And Mrs. Gregory, if I return to your world with you and attempt to enter life as you know it, what will be my place?
Your place?
Yes. I am not, as you are, a very rich woman. We have nothing of value to call our own on Euclidea. No medium of exchange except our efforts, in return for which we receive a bare sustenance. If I attempt to take my place in your world, how will I exist?
That is a very well-placed question, Mother.
Well, it might be if Elaine were not such an unusual person. As it is, I think we'll find that her new life will present more opportunities for accumulating money than she will have time to grasp.
How could that be, Mrs. Gregory?
Well, it's very obvious.
Not to me. And Elaine is plainly disturbed by it.
Well, it's too long a story to go into in great detail. But in the first place, you could amass a small fortune in a short time as a lecturer.
Lecturer? Surely you do not mean as an educator?
In a sense, yes. You see, your knowledge of things Euclidean and your personal story of your life here would provide material for any number of public appearances. However, I propose to protect you from that sort of exploitation until you know our world well enough to make your own choice in such matters. You will live in my home as my guest and Joan's companion until you feel thoroughly acquainted with our manner of living.
Oh, Mother, that would be wonderful. To have Elaine with us in your home?
Oh, indeed it will, Joan.
I realize that I should be very grateful for such an offer, and I hope I may show that gratitude. But will you permit me to question the offer?
Question it?
You need not question it, Elaine. My mother is very sincere in her gesture.
Oh, indeed I am.
I am sorry to express myself so poorly. I would like to ask a question regarding your offer. Perhaps that is a more satisfactory way to state it.
Well, of course. What's worrying you?
Will it not be crowding you, making your quarters stretch beyond the number of people your apartments were designed to accommodate?
Oh, and that's what's bothering you. Why, my dear girl, I could take a dozen young people into my home and still have room to spare.
Mother has a truly enormous home, Elaine.
That must be so. And Jerry is quite possibly correct when he says that you are a very rich woman.
Perhaps he is. But let's forget that for the moment and get back to the matter of your appearance.
You think that I will present a proper appearance?
And more.
Indeed you will. I wish Jerry were here. He has a number of expressions which are very poor English and sound silly, yet are quite valuable. Jerry could tell you in a few slang phrases just how acceptable your appearance is.
Oh, hello, boy, have we got big news.
Jerry!
You bet it's Jerry, the one and only in person.
Well, Jerry, you're all excited.
Bet I am.
And he's got a mighty good reason to be excited.
What is it, Captain Bradford?
Yes, Tex, is it something good?
Something so good that we'll have to be very careful how we tell you about it.
Well, may we hear now?
Golly whiskers. Oh, boy! Hey, Tex, look!
Well, what struck you, Jerry?
The commander!
I did not strike you, Hall.
Oh, forget that Euclidean talk. Look at that girl, Tex. Is she a knockout? What, a picture for the film magazine? Would she knock them dead in Hollywood? Boy, is she something to write home about. Giggling goldfish.
That was what I referred to, Elaine. You have no idea what Jerry meant by all that. Yet his intentions are perfectly clear.
And Jerry didn't tell more than half of it.
Now, Elaine, how do you feel?
I feel something that I have never felt before. It is all so strange to me. You are all such strange people. You are concerned with my comfort, planning my future, and commending me on my appearance. I feel that if you will excuse me for a few moments, I will try to compose myself.
Well, what's the matter with her?
Gosh, did I say something wrong?
No, Jerry, you said everything just right. But Elaine isn't accustomed to compliments and kindness. For the first time in her life, she was overcome with emotion. And she prefers to be alone for a few moments.
Yeah, I know. All girls are the same way. When they get too happy to do anything else, they start to cry about it.
Looked like a case of tears, all right.
I can understand that. My feelings were the same when you first found me on the island. I had known nothing of affection, love, kindness.
We all understand, and a good cry will help her a lot. Now suppose we let poor Elaine alone for a little while, so she may exercise her first opportunity to act like a woman and give us the big news.
Gee, Tex, I got so excited when I saw that girl in Mrs. Gregory's dress that I forgot all about our
news. Well, I didn't. And while I'm not at all sure we have all the privacy we're supposed to have here, well, it's got to be told sometime, and might as well start now.
You have learned something of real value, Captain?
We certainly have. Jerry and I have found the place to escape from Euclidean.
Tex, not really.
Absolutely.
Well, how did this happen?
Oh, we're pretty smart.
You must be.
Oh, it wasn't any trouble for us. We just started out to look for it, and there it was.
No, Jerry, wasn't there a little luck mixed up with it?
Well, not much.
And didn't we have a well-directed hint from Elaine that we might find something of value if we follow that steel tube to the top?
Sure, but all right. We just happened to find it.
That's more like it.
Well, never mind the distribution of credit. What was it you found?
We found an airlock near the former position of the island. And so close to the surface of the water that all of us could easily escape and get to the surface without any help if we had to.
Heck, really?
That's right.
Where was this?
Well, we followed this steel tunnel round and round, getting higher and higher all the time. And I guess we kind of lost our direction. But it was someplace in the edge of that old crater where the island was built.
Yes, I think the tunnel parallels that elevator we came down in. And it sure comes out in the rim of the crater. But what's more important is that there's a transparent steel lock at the top, and it's within 30 feet of the surface of the water.
Oh, it should be easy to escape from there.
It should indeed. But after the escape, what?
After the escape, we're free.
Yes, on the surface of the ocean, 4,000 miles from Los Angeles.
I see what you mean, Joan, and naturally we'd take care of that.
But how, Tex?
By the very simple process of having a boat up there to pick us up.
How is that so simple?
Well, now, don't forget that tomorrow I'm beginning a regular series of test flights in the rocket planes. Sooner or later, I'll plan the rescue.
Will you have a chance to smuggle one of the homing pigeons aboard the plane?
I think so, in time.
Have you asked permission to take your instrument case aboard?
No, I was afraid to ask permission, for fear it would give me away. So on the trial flight today, I simply walked up to the ship with case in my hand.
And G-47 grabbed it and searched it plenty.
He did. And he'll probably do the same for several days to come. But one of these times, I'll know when G-47 is going to be busy at the time I start a flight. And when that time comes, I'll have a homing pigeon in that instrument case.
You'll realize what the results will be if you are caught.
No worse than what we must eventually face if I don't try it. We're here forever as far as G-47 is concerned.
Yes. Our punishment is to be completely ignored until in desperation we trade your formula for freedom. and then find ourselves denied that freedom.
Well, we're going to use that formula in a lot easier way than that, and a better way.
How, Jerry?
Well, Texas...
Hold it, Jerry, hold it.
What's wrong?
Well, I thought I heard a noise outside that door.
But this room is soundproof.
Perhaps we should say we believe it to be soundproof.
Yes, there's always that. We can't be sure of anything here.
Well, never mind that no. I know how to use the formula when the time comes. The only thing that I'd like to know a little more about is the exact method of escape from that airlock Jerry and I discovered.
Perhaps I can assist you there, Captain Bradford.
Well, if you've got any ideas, toss them in.
By all means, Elaine. We'd welcome your advice.
I'm not familiar with the manner of operating the escape mechanism in the lock, but experience with other locks on Euclidia would lead me to conclude that it would be a very simple matter to arrange the flooding of the lock.
I thought that too, Elaine. What worries me is just how difficult it's going to be to get from that lock to the surface. With a number of us getting out at the same time, the last one out is going to have a long stretch without breathing. I'm sure we'll never have the chance to get any special equipment up there without being seen.
Yeah, it's always so easy until it gets hard.
That is not a serious problem. Every Euclidean has been instructed in the use of that escape lock in the event of an emergency, such as the flooding of the city. We have never searched for them, but somewhere in the wall panels of that steel room, and probably easily located, are a number of small air helmets, sufficient to sustain life underwater for several hundred seconds.
Hooray!
That's the answer, Tex.
It certainly is.
And our future is brighter than it's for some time.
It's positively rosy, Joan.
Yeah, but how long will it be before you can get a message out for help?
That all depends on how long it takes me to get a rocket plane over Los Angeles with a homing pigeon aboard. Any other means of communication is impossible.
You plan to smuggle a pigeon aboard in your instrument case?
Yes.
Excellent. But would it not be wise to carry two pigeons in the event one of them is discovered?
Oh, sure, but if one is hard to hide, why try to make it two?
You will carry your individual emergency tank of oxygen on each flight, will you not, Captain?
Yes, each man on the rocket plane will have one. I insisted on that after our last flight nearly ended in disaster.
Precisely. And if you are willing to risk the danger of being without that oxygen, I can show you how to remove the end of the tank. And in that tank, on your important flight, you will have the second homing pigeon.